We are less hung up over time on the so-called traditional roles of each gender. I mean, men can be sensitive, women can be tough, but there are still limits. For example, men can't be mothers. Today's guest points out that women still think of themselves generally as givers, and that can be modified. Amanda Owen is the author of the book Born to Receive, 7 Powerful Steps Women Can Take Today to Reclaim Their Half of the Universe. Amanda Owen is a consultant, coach, and motivational speaker with a background in social work and counseling. She's an author of an earlier book, The Power of Receiving, a revolutionary approach to giving yourself the life you want and deserve. Amanda Owen, thanks for joining us on The Exchange today.
It's so nice to be here, Jeffrey. Thanks for having me.
Sure enough. You write early in the book that it only takes a village to raise a child, but it seems to take a bit more than that, as you point out, to raise a woman's self-esteem.
Yes. I think, you know, what's happened in our culture, this multitasking, stress-filled, have-to-get-it-done culture, is there's a tendency for everybody, but particularly for women, to overdo and overgive without replenishing themselves. And as I point out in the beginning of the book, this leads women to be overly sensitive, you know, when it comes to other people's approval. We ask other people's permission too much and search for this holy grail of self-esteem, when actually if we receive as much as we give and bring that into balance, we're simply going to be healthier, happier people.
Is the problem that despite the way we have changed in society and the fact that, women are doing more things than they did before in terms of getting to the workplace and everything, that we still expect them to do everything they did before plus what they're doing now?
I think that is a lot of it. You know, where there is definitely more equality in the workplace, many women are taking on the bulk of the load when it comes to their personal lives, to housework, to childcare, to taking care of all of that. And so we need to get more of a 50-50 at home to give women some relief.
So when you speak and write of receiving in this context, what do you mean in the context of born to receive?
Well, really what I'm talking about is, you know, when we give out energy, just like we put fuel in a car so it runs, just like we eat for energy fuel, that, you know, when we expend energy over and over and over again, that we must find a way to fill back up. And so we could think of activity as that outgoing energy and receptivity as incoming energy. So it's a way to replenish and renew. And when we get used to receiving as much as we give, that really becomes not only helpful for gaining reciprocity in relationships, but it also becomes kind of an empowerment tool. When you have energized people, they are more productive in their lives and they're happier.
Amanda, is there any sort of middle ground then in this concept between giving and receiving? Is there just sort of a stasis place? Because it sounds like some of the suggestions you're making are for women to simply take time for themselves, which is not so much having anybody give anything to them so much as it is just allowing themselves to be.
Yes, and really receptivity, I mean, the word receive means to accept willingly. You know, to be receptive is to kind of pedal down, it's to get your foot off the accelerator. And really, even in the body, what we're talking about is, you know, the parasympathetic nervous system is when our adrenals are in full flight and we're busy and we're doing a lot of things. And the parasympathetic nervous system is the rest and digest, when we assimilate our experiences, when we observe a receptive state, listen a receptive state, when we relax a receptive state. We're used to thinking of relaxation as something that you do in between activities or when you have a day off or when you're homesick.
So it's a when you can, not so much a destination kind of thing.
You know, exactly. It's really about engaging that part of you. So it's a very, it really can be a very conscious thing just to engage the relaxation part, the receptive part, so that you replenish and renew. That's a state of being that is really brimming with data, with information. It helps to inform you about what you're doing, what's happening in your environment, what's going on with people. So it's actually a very dynamic state to be in. It's not just about it's not a passive state.
We did mention that this is your second book on receiving.
Yes.
Is this book more explicit than the last on how to go about receiving?
It's different in this sense. The Power of Receiving came out a couple of years ago, and that was based on a couple of decades of research that in particular had to do with achieving goals. And so that book was laid out based on a 5-week course that I used to teach. And it provided a foundation just for kind of what it takes to become a skilled receiver. The new book, I wanted to write specifically for women, just because women, we are especially vulnerable to cultural pressures that tell us that we should give and do, often at the expense of our own needs or our own desires. And so in this book, I really wanted to use examples, have exercises, and lay out a guide, really, for how women can successfully create a life where they receive as much as they give.
And the book, again, is called Born to Receive, 7 Powerful Steps Women Can Take Today to Reclaim Their Half of the Universe. Amanda Owen is our guest and its author. And you can join her on the Jefferson Exchange when we return from this break. Back with Amanda Owen and your phone calls and emails on the Jefferson Exchange in a minute 30. Back on the Jefferson Exchange on Jefferson Public Radio's News and Information Service, I'm Jeffrey Riley. Thank you for listening. Our guest today is Amanda Owen, consultant, coach, motivational speaker, counselor, lots of other titles she could assume. Her book is Born to Receive, 7 Powerful Steps Women Can Take Today to Reclaim Their Half of the Universe. This is a discussion you can join on the Jefferson Exchange at 800-838-3760, anywhere in the listening area, in the Rogue Valley, 541-552-6782. By email jx@jeffnet.org. I think we can probably all agree that, yes, women are generally conditioned to be the givers in society, and receiving comes a bit harder to women. But I want to be clear as well, Amanda, you're not advising women to turn completely self-centered or anything here, right?
No, not at all. As a matter of fact, we are so unused to the concept of receiving. You know, we do often think of it as, you know, selfish, or you know, people who feel very entitled and are essentially takers, not receivers. So really this is about balance, that what you give out is like energy out, energy in. Energy out is in your activities. Energy in is it when you are receptive. It's when you replenish and renew. So receiving can be something as simple as accepting a compliment instead of pushing it away, something as simple as going outside and looking at nature and just kind of drinking that in. That's a receptive state. When something feeds you and energizes you, replenishes you, you are automatically in a receptive state. So it's kind of like many people are familiar with the yin-yang symbol. So it's kind of there's activity, receptivity, outgoing energy, incoming energy. This kind of ongoing flow is very natural. So even though we have a culture that is very infatuated with people who do it all, who carry 100% of the load, there is really nothing natural about it. It has actually very severe health consequences ultimately for people.
Is there some response that people receive? I mean, you do have some case histories in here. I'm going to assume you're disguising some names here so people aren't too closely identified. But but I'm guessing that some of the people you've worked with over the years in trying to assert this balance just to receive as much as they give probably got a few people talking to them and getting in their faces like, "Hey, what's wrong with you? You've changed." Yeah, notice I use a male voice there.
Well, you know, what happens, you know, so often in relationships, if we feel the other person is not giving back enough, you know, we try to force that person to be more giving, and that's just unsuccessful. We really can't control other people's behavior. When you learn how to receive and go into that state, what it does is it allows people to move towards you. So that practicing your receiving skills does shift the balance in relationship, but in a sense, it's not confrontational as in force. So activity is when you're engaging in some kind of force of some kind. Receptivity is, in a sense, if you're holding your energy, you're withdrawing your energy. Receptive power on a social level would be like a boycott or a strike, that basically you're refusing to do something. So this is what Gandhi did. This is what Martin Luther King, you know, any kind of peace movement, this is utilizing receptive power. But in a personal life, this may be a woman who refuses to do the housework when other people are not doing their fair share and refuses to clean up after them. So that's kind of like a personal strike.
Mm-hmm.
So this is a very powerful tool to use, and many women don't use it. So in this book, I'm talking kind of about what does receptive power offer you, whether it's trying to gain reciprocity in your relationships or achieve your goals or even just create better health.
Let us take a call. We have Anne and Eugene on the line. We're talking to Amanda Owen about her book, Born to Receive. Hi, Anne.
Thank you. I wonder why nobody ever talks about the biggest hindrance that women have in getting an education, getting a job, keeping a job, getting a promotion. And young women, I think, are less prepared than in the past for that hindrance because of smaller families, that they don't have a good grasp of all of what motherhood will do to their lives. And I think that young women need more input about the responsibilities of motherhood. It is not a give-and-take relationship. It is a give relationship. And why doesn't anybody tell young women what a huge change is going to take place in their life if they choose motherhood? Thank you.
All right. Thanks for the call, Anne. Appreciate that. Amanda, your thoughts on that?
Well, I would like to address this part of it, that yes, definitely women and young people need more education, certainly on a lot of things. I do want to say also that certainly in the giving, receiving, often we are giving to somebody where reciprocity is not possible because as a child, because you are a caretaker, taking care of somebody who is unable to. This is what the whole kind of pay it forward, random acts of kindness, that very often reciprocity is not possible within a particular relationship. And this is when people must replenish other places. And in the case of a mother in our society, very often she has so much on her shoulders and that she needs to get help, she needs to get support, and she needs to find ways to help herself and replenish her energy. And so certainly what I am advocating is that anytime your activities over, especially over a long period of time, are going out and out and out and out, that you must find support for yourself and replenish your energy. And you do that actually through receiving, through asking for help, through delegating, through not turning people away when they try to help you, and from being honest and transparent and authentic about what is going on with you so that people have the information about what they can do to help you.
You say in Born to Receive that our culture has little understanding of receptive states. First, what are some examples of receptive states?
So receptive states are when you, for example, you can access a receptive state through your five senses. So I think everybody's had the experience where you just sit and watch a beautiful sunset. That feeling that gives you, it's something that really fills you up. So you can utilize your sight through what you see. You can listen a receptive state to the sounds around you. Every time you kind of plug in that way, you're recharging yourself. So it's about going into these more relaxed states. It's about being present, whether it's through a kind of meditative state, whether it's through appreciation and gratitude, of just noticing what's going on in your life instead of barreling through with a to-do list.
All right, that would seem to be the issue then, is that people are so focused on the stuff that needs to get done that they
yeah.
this idea of stopping long enough to receive something, even if it's just receiving something through your senses, seems yeah. like it's just a diversion from what you should be doing.
That's exactly it, and I think that this is part of this kind of epidemic in our culture. This, I call it, multitasking mayhem. And it's easy to see that people are becoming stress junkies. That is kind of, if there is not something happening, you know, distracting them, occupying their mind 24/7, they feel like they're not furthering their goals. We don't really have a concept of the more relaxed states as helping us, although it's very easy to see the health consequences as people are destroying their adrenals just by this kind of constant heightened state. So receptivity, getting your foot off the accelerator and taking those moments, even if it's you're at a red light in your car, instead of listening to the radio, looking at your phone, thinking of what you're going to do, just to sit there, listen to the sounds, look at the sights. Just spend that 60 seconds. You can catch these 60 seconds so many times a day, and they all count, they all fill you up, and they all make a huge difference in your life.
Amanda Owen is our guest on the Jefferson Exchange. She is the author of the book Born to Receive, 7 Powerful Steps Women Can Take Today to Reclaim Their Half of the Universe. Join our conversation on the Exchange. This is a really interesting subject area and topic, and you can join it at 800-838-3760 anywhere in the listening area. In the Rogue Valley, 541-552-6782, by email jx@jeffnet.org. You offer in the first part of the book the ABCs of receptivity. A, accept all compliments. B, be spiritually naked. C, count your blessings. Seems like first and third are pretty clear. Second one, maybe not quite so much. Be spiritually naked in what sense?
I say spiritual. Be spiritually naked as in to be self-revealing, to be authentic. You know, so often we present ourselves as someone we'd like to be, a way that we'd like other people to see us or that we hope that we would be. This prevents people from getting to know us. And even in doing this, it becomes a habit over time that very often we lose sense of exactly who we are. So to be spiritually naked means to be, you know, with the good, the bad, the beautiful, the ugly, just be, kind of celebrate your humanity. You are all of these different things. When you relate to people from that place, people feel like they are with a kindred spirit. We like to be around people who are authentic. When people come across as having it all together or being like super perfect, it's very nerve-wracking to be around people like that. And we don't feel like we ever get to know them. So part of receiving is to receive yourself exactly where you are, who you are in the moment. In that way, you are informed about the decisions you want to make for your future, but it also helps you to connect you to other people.
It seems like a lot of these states, though, are really generally two-way at the same time, because when you're giving a real picture of yourself out there, you're receiving mm-hmm. At the same time, in the sense that you're getting authenticity back, you hope.
Yes.
So there's always this bit of two-wayness there, isn't there?
Exactly, which is reciprocity, which, you know, it's our relationships are a two-way street. You know, we're both giving and receiving. And in fact, when we're in that state, we recognize that giving and receiving are flip sides of the same coin. You know, I think all had experiences where we connect with somebody in a way that we feel like we're getting as much out of the transaction as they are. And in that sense, who is the giver, who is the receiver? From that place, we're kind of showcasing our wholeness, our humanity. And that, in turn, becomes very replenishing and energizing.
And again, the A and the ABCs of receptivity you list here are is accept all compliments. There's a story in this book about the culture of self-esteem, or the culture of lack of self-esteem, I suppose. Mm-hmm. What was that story about the women who are comfortable with compliments?
Well, the accept all compliments, the reason I have that as kind of the first of the ABCs of receiving is because, you know, we want many things in life. We want a good job. We want more money. We want plenty of things. But many of us turn away something as simple as a compliment. And that push away energy that says, you know, basically, oh, nothing, you know, don't bother, you know, don't worry about me. Or someone says, oh, I love that shirt. Oh, this old rag, I got it for 25 cents at the thrift shop. There's a way of kind of pushing away. What we don't do is connect that push away in this larger context that of this message that we give out to the world, which is to stay away from us. It's a very armored place to be. And so I ask women to accept compliments. When someone compliments you, just to say thank you, to be gracious. So I say, give generously, receive graciously. It's a signal of balance, that energy comes in as well as goes out.
Why, then, are women so prone to low self-esteem? And in the example you gave in the book where a speaker asked a room full of women, how many people here are comfortable accepting compliments? Did no hands go up?
And no hands went up. And, in fact, it's very common to hear women say, oh, I'm not really comfortable accepting a compliment, or I don't feel worthy of it. So there's a lot of kind of complicated messages that women have. As if one's self-esteem had to be in, you know, at 100% in the exact moment that the compliment is given. The reality is self-esteem ebbs and flows in a minute, in a second, in a day, in a week, in a year. But our culture is very focused on girls and women and self-esteem, which, as you know from my book, I'm saying that women, I believe women need to stop saying, I have low self-esteem. I think the self-esteem issues are manufactured by businesses.
To get people to buy products?
To get people to buy products. I mean, is there a Dove beauty campaign for men? No.
Ah, true. Although, how many men would buy Dove? But that's a totally different thing. Axe body spray, maybe, with today's younger
generation.
Yes,
but it wouldn't be an effective, you know, campaign. No one's trying to, you know, for men, that this would be ineffective. For women, this will raise your self-esteem. This will make you feel better about yourself. So on the one hand, you have all of these messages that are intent of kind of whittling down a woman's self-esteem. And then at the same time, offering products that will help us be happier, thinner, you know, just simply all of these messages about what will make us feel better about ourselves.
Here's another call from Paul in Talent. Welcome to the Jefferson Exchange with Amanda Owen. Her book is Born to Receive.
Yes, Amanda, I'm just curious, why do you focus on the receptivity needs of women? Where do men come in on the issue? For the last 7 years, I've taken care of an elderly aunt, mm-hmm. lock, stock, and barrel. I cook, clean, do all of her necessary needs. But yet, out of that service, I receive a great deal of benefit. And I enjoy it, and I recognize it. I don't need anybody else's congratulations to make me feel that I've accomplished something worthwhile and beneficial. But why is it just for women?
All right. Thanks for that, Paul. Appreciate it.
Yeah, actually, my first book, The Power of Receiving, was for everybody. And to be honest, the messages in this book are for everybody as well. Every person, male or female, is going to benefit by balancing their activities with being receptive. There's no doubt about that. For this particular book, because of how vulnerable women are to some of these social influences about giving and doing, I simply wanted to write this particular book for women, but again, the message is certainly equally applies to men. With, for the caregiving, absolutely, there are many, many instances in life where the pleasure of giving is its own reward. So really what I'm talking about is when there is a chronic way of relating to everybody in your life that denies your needs.
All right, so to make sure it does go in both directions and try to balance that out. Yes. That is the point of Born to Receive, 7 powerful steps women can take today to reclaim their half of the universe. We will come back with Amanda Owen and take your phone calls and emails as well. Back on the Jefferson Exchange in a minute 15. Final segment on today's Jefferson Exchange. I'm Jeffrey Riley. Thank you for listening. Our guest today is Amanda Owen, consultant, coach, counselor, and some other things that don't start with a hard K sound. Her book is called Born to Receive, 7 Powerful Steps Women Can Take Today to Reclaim Their Half of the Universe. You can join this discussion on the exchange. We certainly encourage women to jump into the process. 800-838-3760, anywhere in the listening area. In the Rogue Valley, 541-552-6782, by email jx@jeffnet.org. The whole back half of the book is the 7 steps that you mention in the subtitle. 1, pay attention to your feelings and trust your intuition. 2, know what you want. 3, ask for help if you need it and accept it when it's offered. 4, be grateful and say thank you. 5, create full reciprocity in your relationships. 6, don't put yourself last or you won't last. 7, be respectful of your past. Have a vision for the future, but live in the moment. How long did it take to develop the 7 steps, Amanda?
How long did that take? Not long, only in that as soon as I decided to write this book and I knew I wanted 7 steps, I've been researching, receiving, lecturing, and doing workshops on it for about 20 years. And so this is something that really has developed over such a long period of time that when I sit down to write, whether it's an article or a book, I'm pretty sure about what I want to say.
So on step 1, pay attention to your feelings and trust your intuition. But if you generally don't, I mean, if you really haven't gone out there to trust your intuition through much of your life, what are some of the baby steps to begin to develop that muscle, as it were?
To listen to your feelings and trust your intuition, you must be quiet. You must be still. That voice can only be heard really from a relaxed state. And so the first thing is, even if you're feeling agitated about some things that are going on in your life, is even if you just go out for a long walk and just relax and look at trees and watch the birds, just kind of start filling up that space. That is the space that's going to inform you about what is going on, and that takes practice. When you are familiar with your feelings, when you are familiar with the intuitive voice kind of speaking to you or nudging you, it helps you in your dealings with everybody. You're not flying blind. It's like you kind of have 50% of information that was missing before. And so that when you confront a situation, you trust your intuition. If you get a really bad vibe about somebody, a bad feeling, you trust it, and you take appropriate actions. Often we ignore a feeling or ignore an intuition about something just because we are not familiar with that world at all, and so we don't pay attention.
Let's take some more calls. Here is Valentine in Ashland. Welcome to the Jefferson Exchange with Amanda Owen. Her book is Born to Receive.
Yes, hi. Thanks for the program. I just came in a few minutes ago, but the topic is very interesting. I was thinking that one of the problems that my sex has is that we live in a society where women are really devalued. It's a very masculine society, I think, and becoming more so, at least in this country. And I think that permeates a lot of the thinking. And I also think there's a lot of sort of remnants of the old children should be seen and not heard and somehow women should be seen but not heard too much. And so I was just thinking about your last comment as well about needing the time to go out and take a walk and just breathe and think things through. But again, I'm saying the thing that disturbed me and why I called was you're saying that in a room full of women, not one woman was comfortable receiving a compliment. Mm-hmm. I think that's very telling. Thank you.
All right. Thanks for that, Valentine.
Yes, that is very telling, and I agree with the caller. This is a statement about our culture. One of the things I write about repeatedly in all of the steps is that women must practice facing conflict, dealing with disagreeable people, uncomfortable situations, that we need to cultivate more staying power. We need to cultivate an ability to deal with conflict in a good way, in a gracious way, in an empowered way. That my book is really a call for women to step up and to begin to develop some of these qualities that will bring us equality in our society.
Let's take another call. Here's John in Ashland. Welcome to the Jefferson Exchange. We're talking to Amanda Owen about her book, Born to Receive.
Yeah, I just wanted to go back to the marketing to people with low self-esteem thing. I think there's marketing to men's low self-esteem as well, but it comes in the form of marketing more powerful cars. And in marketing vicarious sports, you know, we're being inundated with sports bars, and there's a whole lot of, you know, watching people that can do really good at some sport by guys who never were any good or tried to be at one point in school and that kind of thing. And I just wanted to add, I think sports is, and competition is one of the ways that we create low self-esteem. You know, it's not Lake Wobegon. We can't all be above average. It doesn't work that way. And so that even the people that are at the very top, you know, if you see in the Olympics, you know, somebody that's number two or number three, this is seen as like almost a disgrace because you're, you know, 0.2 seconds behind somebody else who happened to be the fastest in the world at that particular moment. And we're constantly, you know, holding up these very extreme examples of success to everybody, saying that, you know, if you're not super at something, you're no good. And then we market to it.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Interesting. So for both men and women, interesting concept for that, John.
Yeah,
appreciate
yeah.
that. Amanda, your thoughts?
Yes, I agree. And in fact, you know, men do feel different social pressures than women. So even for, you know, for men, the social role of, you know, excelling, you know, whether it's in a sport of some kind, in being a provider, many men work very hard at jobs that they really don't want to be in. So that there are absolutely pressures on men also where they start ignoring their feelings or their intuition or just what feels right for them. There are social pressures on both men and women in different ways.
I was curious about the order, actually, of the seven steps that you give, and as the subtitle refers to them, the seven powerful steps women can take today to reclaim their half of the universe. Mm-hmm. And obviously, you mentioned these are both good for both men and women. Number five, step five, is create full reciprocity in your relationships.
Yes.
I have to believe that's probably one of the harder ones.
Yes, I think, you know, reciprocity is only possible when you have two people who see themselves as equal, like, let's say, equally participating members in the relationship. So on a social level, you can't have a discriminated class and still have that equal participation, for example. And a personal level with relationships, reciprocity requires that you both give and receive so that that relationship is a two-way street. When a relationship is, you know, one person is essentially, for the most part, in charge of the relationship, you don't have reciprocity, and it's ultimately a recipe for suffering of some kind, and that would be for both parties. So what I'm saying to people is kind of in exercising your receive muscles, learning how to receive, this brings a balance that cannot be attained in any other way. So I have a saying, the only possible match for someone who doesn't know how to receive is someone who doesn't know how to give. And that way we find our perfect ratio. Often we're so focused on what the other person may not be giving, and because our culture doesn't really have a vocabulary for receiving, that we don't really look at ourselves as, well, am I a good receiver? Do I have any receiving skills here? So this is kind of a way of coming at reciprocity from the other side of how we're used to looking at it, which is to try to give some, but get somebody else to give more.
All right, let me take another call. Here's Jeannie in Medford. Welcome to the Jefferson Exchange with Amanda Owen, the author of Born to Receive.
Hi, I'm thinking of an old poster in the 70s. A man works from sun to sun. A woman's work is never done. It was a reprint from years before, or a Bible somewhere. But it had a picture of a woman in a sheath and a babushka with, you know, carrying bales of hay on her back. And But the poster in the 70s, I think the beginning of the end, said a woman's work is never done. Paid for, commended, valued, appreciated. And it went on and on. And I had it hanging in the kitchen. My husband hated it. And actually, I did too, you know. It's like.
Did he do anything about it, though, is the bigger question, Jeannie.
Yeah, he changed because I demanded it. Instead of saying, can I use the car and then validate why I needed it to go get nail polish, I said, I'm taking the car.
Mm-hmm.
I think things changed a little too much then.
Mm-hmm. Interesting.
That's another story.
All right, we'll leave that for another day. Thanks for that, Jeannie. Appreciate it. Amanda?
Yeah, certainly. In the 60s and 70s, the women's movement, and in the 70s in particular, a series of laws that were passed made women more equally participating members in society. And that changed everything. You know, prior to about, you know, I want to say 73, 74, a separated woman could not get a mortgage from a bank without her husband's permission. Women could not get credit cards. Women had no economic power. And so men were, for better or worse, our mediators of the world. The 70s changed that and began to open the doors for women to be more equally participating members in a society.
Let us look at some of the other recommendations in the second part of the book with the seven steps. In the first part about in the first step about pay attention to your feelings and trust your intuition, you mentioned the concept of going on a complaint fast. It's interesting that compliments and complaints seem to work in tandem here, but what is a complaint fast and what's the value of it?
A complaint fast, you know, one of the ways in our society that we bond with people is through complaining, through kvetching about the same things, you know, with each other. And what this does is, whatever the situation is that is causing our suffering, when we complain about it, it's kind of like a discharge mechanism. It feels really good in the moment, but it never changes the conditions about which we are complaining. So what I've discovered in my research and through many, many workshops working with a lot of people is that if you close those kind of escape hatches with complaints, that you begin to feel your feelings and become familiar with your feelings instead. And those feelings will inform you about what you want to do. And actually, they have huge transformational value. They'll begin to transform the decisions that you make in your life. And so I have a motto. It goes, no suffering allowed, A-L-L-O-W-E-D, no suffering allowed, A-L-O-U-D. And that motto is just kind of a reminder that if you stop complaining, your chances of changing the circumstances in your life about which you are unhappy have just raised by 500%. So if anybody out there who is listening to the program would like to try this, even for a week, just spend 1 week and don't complain about anything once, it will be an absolute revelation to you about what you discover about yourself and about how you want to move forward in your life.
Does it feel like stifling to some people, though?
When you're used to complaining, it's very difficult kind of in the beginning. after a very short period of time, what you experience is you cannot believe how much people complain. You're in a line at the grocery store, at the bank, you're watching something on TV, you're just walking down the street listening to people, and you realize that there's this litany of complaining that goes on all around you. And that becomes kind of a revelation in itself. Once you get used to not complaining, you actually don't want to go back. It feels it just feels distasteful to you. And certainly skilled receivers don't complain, because when you want to receive, you're not about chasing away. And anybody who's ever been caught listening to a monologue of misery from somebody, you know, knows that how often have you just wanted to kind of get away, your eyes glaze over, and you just really don't want to be in the presence of that. It feels very uncomfortable after a while, especially if you're not the one complaining. So close those escape doors and just go on a complaint fast, and your life is going to change.
And then you can work your way forward to step four, which is to be grateful and say thank you. I wish we could get further into the seven steps, but we are out of time. The book is Born to Receive, Seven Powerful Steps Women Can Take Today to Reclaim Their Half of the Universe. Amanda Owen wrote it, and she's been our guest. And we are grateful for that, Amanda.
Thank you so much. I'm grateful as well.
You bet. And that'll do it for today's exchange. You can find out more about the program and subjects and suggest a guest and listen online at jeffexchange.org. Tomorrow on The Exchange, we'll talk to a local doctor who visited the Philippines to do some of his work there. We will talk to the folks from the No on Jackson County's anti-GMO measure in the person of John Watt. And then at 9 o'clock, we'll talk about the medical marijuana dispensaries with folks from LEAP, Law Enforcement Against Prohibition. That's all tomorrow on the Jefferson Exchange. Our producer and today's engineer, Charlotte Duren. I'm Jeffrey Riley. Thank you for listening. Please join us again tomorrow at 8 for another edition of the Jefferson Exchange on the News and Information Service of Jefferson Public Radio. And have a great day.